Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are endeavoring to learn something very important from James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ and the author of the Epistle of James, namely, how to benefit from trials. Assuming that you are a Christian, you are in a position to benefit from your trials if you understand what you need to understand about them. Perhaps another way of putting this is, don't waste your trials. Many people do. They waste their trials by chafing against them and complaining about them and begging God to eliminate them and not to send them, not to allow them to come, and failing to understand them, and totally waste their trials because they do not understand or will not understand what God has given us in His Word regarding them. And that's what we're trying to help as we work our way through James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, December 7. And please keep in mind that we depend upon our radio listeners and your financial support to keep this program on the air. Well, we have already learned that trials have a divine purpose, that saving faith must be tested, that perseverance can only be developed by trials, and that Christian maturity is developed through perseverance. And therefore, in the light of these things, this knowledge, there is something for us to do, namely, let patience have its perfect work. Understand that God is doing something good in your trial and cooperate with God in your trial. Don't reject your trial, but rather embrace your trial. That's not to say that you're going to enjoy trials as much as you enjoy periods of that are free from trials, though actually, I don't think any of us are ever totally free from trials. Life is pretty much a mixture of joys and sorrows, but it is so that the percentage changes from time to time. Sometimes we are enjoying maybe 90% joy and 10% trials, so much so that the trials almost fade into non-existence in our mind until, of course, something comes along and tugs at our coat sleeve and says, here's a trial, remember me. But there are other times when it seems like life is made up of 90% trials and only 10% joys. And that's what we consider to be times of trial, when the trials are so many, so great, so heavy, so all-consuming that the joys nearly fade into non-existence. Now, again, they're there as well, and many times they will come along and tug on our shirt sleeve or coat sleeve and say, remember me. Remember this joy. Don't forget the good things that God is doing, and even that's a bad way to put it because, of course, understanding trials properly means that trials are good things. But don't forget the joyful things, the enjoyable things that God has placed in your life alongside the trials. God has not required you to walk under a dark cloud without a single ray of sunshine. But sometimes the clouds last a long time, and the sunshine doesn't shine very brightly. And then at other times, the sunshine shines most of the time, and there's only an occasional cloud. But when you are in the midst of trials, whether great or small, embrace them, learn from them, cooperate with God in them, let patience have its perfect work, is the command of verse 4, so that you can benefit from your trials. Don't waste your trials. And the whole point is to persevere. Persevere in trials. Let patience, or persevering patience is another way to translate that, a better way to translate it perhaps. But let patience, or let perseverance, we could say, let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now that brings us to consider this question, what is perseverance? We need to understand what this is. If perseverance, patient perseverance, is to have its perfect work, then we'd better understand what this perseverance is that God calls upon us to employ during times of trial. And it is not, in the first place, simply grim resignation. I'll tough it out. I'll hunker down. I'll roll myself up into a little ball and let the blows fall upon me, and when it's over, I'll get up and go on with life again. No, perseverance is active. It's not passive. It's not simply curling up and waiting until the trial is over and not doing anything in the meanwhile except just grimly holding on. I'm resigned that this trial is necessary, but I'm certainly not involved in it. I'm just simply enduring it. No, that's not perseverance. That may be the way some people respond to trials, but that's not perseverance. And perseverance is certainly not complaining and self-pity. That's not perseverance, not godly perseverance. When God says, but let perseverance have its perfect work, he's not talking about grim resignation, and he's not talking about complaining and self-pity. But what he's talking about is trustful patience and submissive participation in the schooling of your Heavenly Father. That's what perseverance is. Trustful patience and submissive participation in the schooling of your Heavenly Father. Recognizing that God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. Do you know that hymn? Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds, you so much dread, are filled with mercy and shall break with blessing on your head. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful hymn that is, and we love to sing it in our congregation, and I would encourage you to learn it, but whether you learn that hymn or not, please learn the truth that that hymn is expressing, namely, that the storms, the clouds, are God's working in our lives to produce his good. Therefore, we must trust him. Therefore, we must be patient in the face of our trials, not chafing at them, not impatiently clamoring for them to be lifted ASAP. I can't take any more. Oh God, I can't take any more. Lift this burden from me. No, you can take more because God has told us in his word that there is no testing taken us but such as is common to man, and God is faithful who will not allow the testing to be more than we can bear and will provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. That's what God promises. If God promises us that, that is true. So we shouldn't be demanding that the trial be lifted or even pleading necessarily for the trial to be lifted, but what we should be doing is praying for God to give us the wisdom and the grace to benefit from the trial. to embrace it, to absorb it, and to respond to it in a biblical and God-honoring way. Remember the disciples in the book of Acts when they were persecuted, and it says they got together and they prayed, and it's a wonderful prayer. Maybe we'll look at it on the broadcast tomorrow. Well, maybe I'll look at it today. They prayed, and not a word of asking for the trial to be removed. Not a word. Not a word. I'm looking for it. Here it is. It's Acts chapter 4. And being let go, that is, the apostles who were being persecuted, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, now listen to this prayer. Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? And the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and here's their petition, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Not, Lord, protect us from trial. Lord, protect us from persecution. Lord, protect us from the evil designs of those who are opposed to the gospel. Not a word of that. Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. The very thing that got them persecuted to start with was speaking the word of Christ. In other words, they were praying that God would enable them to respond to the trial in a Christ-honoring way. Not to let the trial muzzle them, not to let the trial discourage them, not to let the trial keep them from giving out the gospel and proclaiming the word of God. But, God, please grant your servants boldness that they may face this trial as a Christian ought to face the trial. That's perseverance. Trustful patience and submissive participation in the schooling of your Heavenly Father. That's perseverance. Not trying to avoid the trial, not complaining because there is a trial, not simply hunkering down and stopping all activity and just waiting until the trial is over, but embracing the trial and asking God to give you strength and courage and wisdom and boldness in order to continue to serve Christ actively in the midst of the trial. In other words, to allow the trial to enhance your Christian service. One well-known preacher in America wrote a book when he got cancer. He wrote a book entitled, or maybe a booklet entitled, Don't Waste Your Cancer. It was an article. Don't waste your cancer. If God sends cancer, don't let it go to waste. Let it have its perfect work. That's exactly what James is saying here. Let patience, perseverance, have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Don't waste your cancer. Don't let this come and go without you learning anything and without you allowing this to be a platform for greater effective service for Christ. Ask God to show you how that can be accomplished. That's perseverance. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.